This is Underground Uppers. Hello, fiends, friends, and family, and everybody that watches and or listens to this show. Be sure that you are giving this video a thumbs up, or if you're listening on Spotify or whatever, hit the like button for me. It really helps me a lot. It costs you absolutely nothing. And just a couple of quick little announcements tonight. Tomorrow night at 21st in Germantown, 1481 South Shelby Street, Louisville, Kentucky, Proles. Proles will be playing An Evening with Proles, brought to you by Undergroundopolis. That's right. In case you didn't know, we are putting on a show once a month at 21st in Germantown. And Proles agreed to come on the local ruckus, which is going to soon start be calling the ruckus, because I'm getting out of town acts there saying, hey, we want in on this. Can we get on the ruckus? And I think it's going to start being called the ruckus. I'm glad I didn't make the vinyl banner yet, because I was going to, and it was going to say local ruckus, and then I would have to change it, buy another one. Hopefully I'll find another sponsor that'll just say, oh, I'll pay for it for you, but I know I won't. Maybe the music store down the street will buy it for me. They bought my other equipment. Music store, Clarksville, Indiana. There's only one. It's called the Music Store. Be sure you check them out. And the Sunday, June 18th, your humble host right here will be hosting the open mic, the Sunday night open mic at 21st in Germantown again. My buddy, local comedian, Uncool Randy, usually hosts it, and he got another gig this Sunday and needed someone to fill in for him, and he asked me, and I'm really glad to. I always like it when he asked me. I filled in for him a few times now, and I'm really glad to be doing it this Sunday night. Be sure to come out, sign up. There's always secret hidden gems from Louisville gyms that come to that thing. And, you know, there's a couple of raisin heads that'll make you laugh your ass off. And so be sure to come out. It's not just for comedians. It's also for musicians. I mean, it's kind of an acoustic setup. It's a small setup, but be sure to come out, and we're going to have a good time. All right. And now I'm going to bring my guest on. They're going to talk about their new album, Death, Oddities, and Romance, Bullet to the Heart. We'll let them introduce themselves. Tell us who you are, where you're from.
What's up? I'm Audrey Queen, a.k.a. the Queen of Darkness, lead singer of Bullet to the Heart.
And I'm Draven D.C., the drummer.
And we are from Chicago, Illinois.
So how many albums do you have out?
So three officially.
And then this is the EP. So three albums and an EP.
I mean, when I was doing my research, I kept finding more albums and more another album. Like, y'all have really done a lot of work.
Yeah,
a lot of trial and error, you know.
Well, that's all right. This album, Death, Oddities, and Romance, it's really great. I mean, I told you before, show, I'm just going to start throwing out compliments. I've had a lot of fun with this record. I really have.
Thank you.
So did we.
Is there more than one singer?
So I'm the lead vocalist. Brian does harmonies and backups, and then Draven will sometimes do backups and screaming.
I was going to say, there's a screamer in there.
Yeah, I do it on a couple tracks.
Yeah.
He's like, it's all me, baby. Tell me about the album. Tell me everything you went into the album.
So when we first were writing it, we got in contact with Justin Oftenkamp from Miss May I. So we wanted to write heavier songs because he is a founding father of metalcore. But as we got into the songs, different styles just started coming out. And then for me vocally, instead of writing more personal, I mean, obviously there is a personal track on there, Postmortem, but I wanted to do more like story-based songs, like take a page out of Volbeat and just take like different characters and make like a little storybook out of the EP.
It just so happens I was going to bring up Postmortem as one of my, because we'll get to that part of the show. Since it is my show, I get to talk about my favorite song because I'm egotistical like that. I'm not really, but Postmortem and Graveyard Lovers.
Yes.
Is there a story behind Graveyard Lovers you'd like to tell us about?
So Graveyard Lovers, I took inspiration from Tim Burton's Corpse Bride. So very like, there's a zombie that gets discovered in a graveyard by a man and he falls in love with her and they become the bride and groom. And then we have this whole big like wedding between his family and her family. And they, you know, come out on the other side, even though they're very different, happily ever after.
Would I be insulting if I said I heard of maybe a hymn influence?
That's interesting.
That's the first time.
That's the first, someone's ever said that.
I'm not being insulting because I don't mean it that way because I love him.
I've never heard that. That's very interesting.
Well, the whole love and death thing kind of thing.
Yes.
And which is kind of I love that band. I was so sad when they split. I dug him.
Yeah.
Why is Postmortem very personal, if you could share that?
So Postmortem, I guess I'll start. When we first started Bullets at the Heart, 3 months in, I was rushed to the hospital. I had to have emergency surgery. I had an 8-centimeter ovarian cyst burst and bleed a liter of blood into my abdomen. So I had to go under because if I would have waited another hour, I would have bled to death internally. So I struggled prior to that with anxiety and depression and not wanting to be here. Cause my parents split when I was 11. So it really hit me when I was 14 and that's what kind of got me into music to kind of, get rid of some of that trauma that I had. And on the day I was just 22, I begged the universe. Like there was the first time in like so long that I was like, I want to live. I have a purpose to live. And that was kind of like my song of like healing, because that would have been like my final goodbye had I died 6 years ago.
Wow.
Yeah.
So that's some help. I picked a good one. I've got a knack for it. And who did you say produced this album?
Justin Oftenkamp from Miss May I.
And how did that come about? Because this is really good producer.
Yeah, really good. He did a great job. We actually had to record at Rephrase Studios. There's a lot of in Ohio. There's a lot of bands like iconically that have performed there and recorded there. And we had a mutual friend in contact and he was going to take on some new style of projects. We were interested in writing some new style of music. And like I said, it started out as like a really metalcore heavy EP, like Black Widow. All the songs were written like Black Widow. And then we started writing Graveyard and Postmortem, and it kind of changed the vibe of the record and did more of like a thematic theme. And Justin was just all for it. He's like, dude, that's something new and fresh. I want to work with you guys. And it was kind of like a mutual thing. And we just, you know, just kind of set up a date and started performing, you know, started doing it.
And I was going to bring up the Black Widow video. And who was a cigar smoker?
Oh, that was me.
Do you really smoke cigars?
Oh, occasionally. I'm Italian, so you kind of have to, you know.
I try to pick an off-the-wall question in every interview. That was what kind of cigars you smoke?
I don't even know. I mean, I like the little, like, Capone cigarillos usually because it's, like, kind of quick and easy. But I can't remember the name. It's, like, it's called, like, Blue something. And they're, like, they're very, like, flavorful. And then cognac's really good.
This show used to be called Cigars and Guitars at one time.
Nice.
As a matter of fact. And we didn't really talk about music on it. We painted like this back here. show I was painting.
That's kind of cool. It's something different, you know.
And yeah, I know. I've started taking painting lessons again. I like. There's I would say it's therapeutic, but it's not. It's actually kind of frustrating.
Yeah.
It's much like kind of like music. You get like it's one little thing. It's gonna drive me nuts.
Yeah, I've always wanted to paint. I just can't like figure it out. I'm like really bad at art, like physical art.
Nope, I am too. Kind of, you know. I'm a performance artist, I guess.
Nice.
So. Where all have you played so far? I mean, you've been at it for a while, so you got a favorite show story that you could tell share with us?
Yeah, I mean, we played really, I mean, all over the country. One of our first ever tours was a 33-day run coast to coast, all the way to Virginia, Tennessee. We played Cheyenne, Wyoming to Whiskey A Go Go in California.
Oh, wow.
So we played really everywhere. But I mean, yeah, I mean, what kind of story are you looking for?
Your favorite show story.
Favorite
you have
show
one.
Story.
You know what it is. We always tell us one.
Well, yeah, but that's like,
it's,
I think that's favorite experience. I don't know. I mean, you can talk about that if you want.
I think it was a good show. When we released our second album, Trials and Tribulations, we headlined House of Blues Chicago, and we drew 400 people. And it was just a surreal experience, and it was amazing. Like, I would say it was a good show.
No, absolutely. That was definitely like a goal we didn't expect to hit early on in this project.
Oh, yeah.
So there was just like a demand like locally for our music, and all of our friends, family, and bloodline came out to support this new release. And it was really cool. So there was an unexpected story when we actually played Cheyenne, Wyoming. We played the Asher Upstairs. We had a really bad night the previous night, because it was kind of like an off the wall kind of show, and you know, Cheyenne, Wyoming, it's like in the middle of nowhere. And we decided to do this venue, and we go and, you know, we set up, and it's like a big like empty warehouse kind of vibe. And we went and got food, and when we came back, there's a line all the way down the stairs, all the way out the door, all the way around the block. And we're like, what's all the people here for? And the guy's like, oh, there's a show tonight. I'm like, well, we're playing tonight. He goes, yeah. And we're like, holy crap, you know? So that was like a nice unexpected little story on the road as well. And who would have thought Cheyenne, Wyoming slaps, you know?
Well, when you said middle of nowhere, not Wyoming, I was thinking, gee, imagine a middle of nowhere in my Wyoming.
Yeah, but everybody just, they support music out there. You know, they don't get a lot of bands, so they full on support. It's awesome.
What was the name of the venue?
Asher Upstairs.
Maybe I'll look into that on my next over the road run.
Yeah, they have a whole brewery downstairs and it's a venue upstairs.
Can't really call most of my stuff actual tours because they're usually just like a week to 10 days long. So
I think if you're going three different places in a 5-day period, that counts as a tour. If you're playing Chicago 4 days in a row, not so much.
Right.
But I think if you're doing other states, not your hometown, at least 3 to 4 dates, that's a tour. You're moving, you're on the road, you're living in the vehicle or getting hotels and stuff.
So what's the bloodline?
So the bloodline, early on in the project, we wanted to give our fans a name and not something cheesy like Bullet to the Heart's Army. That's been done 580 times. So we were thinking about like, what can we call our fans so that they feel like family to us? And we came up with the bloodline because they are like what keeps us going, and we consider them family. We don't really consider them fans. So if you're a part of our bloodline, you're a part of our family and you're with us, and we treat you as if, you know, you are our family, like our chosen family.
That's pretty. You didn't call them juggalos.
So. Yeah.
No.
I'm clowning. See what I did there?
Yeah. Oh my God.
I'm a cheesy jokester. Sorry.
Got some dad jokes up there.
Do you tell us one?
No, I'm saying you.
Oh.
Well, the dad jokes is Brian.
Yeah, that's our guitar.
Every band has a dad joke teller, I promise.
Yep,
every single band has either an anti-joke teller or a dad joke or just a bad joke teller. You know?
Yeah, that'd be Brian.
Your latest video? Let's talk about that. And I can't read my writing. I think it's Revenant.
Yes.
Yeah, that's Revenant. The vampire one. The vampire fun one.
Originally, we wanted to do kind of like a love vampire story. And then last minute, my brother was the lead. So I was like, we're not going to play that story. So we kind of changed it to where he sired into my line. He's like a sibling character, and he gets fed up with being this like monster. So he goes out into the sunlight and basically kills himself.
Well, that's sad.
Yeah, it's very sad, but I kind of wanted to get back to the roots of like vampires are like they're sexy and they lure in people and
they don't sparkle.
They don't sparkle in the sun and they don't fall in love. They kind of are just like vicious, disgusting creatures. And this person that got turned into one was like, "Yeah, I'm not doing this, so I'm just gonna end it."
Yep. You realize it's at 98,000 views.
Yeah, we're super close.
We want to reach 100K.
I mean, like I went to double check to make sure there wasn't a decimal point there. No, it's 98,000, not 9,800.
Yes.
That's a hell of an accomplishment on YouTube.
Yeah, that one really blew up because I know like Widow's at like 76K and Fallen Away's at like 70-ish K. But this one was really well received. People like really liked it. We had a big a live chat launch on YouTube. We like went live on YouTube for everybody to see it. We had like 30 something people in the live chat, so that was really exciting.
Yeah. That's really good, man. That's really good. What do you plan to embark on the Glenn Hughes and Yngwie Malmsteen? You're going to be joining. How did that even happen?
So we were supposed to go on tour with the band Loudness. We had a whole tour. We bought thousands of t-shirts, bought a big theater banner, spent a bunch of money, and they had trouble getting their visas approved. So Pavement was very accommodating. They were like, "Oh my God, we didn't expect this. We know you guys fronted a bunch of money for like promo and new gear and you got new merchandise because we were expected a tour for a whole month." So as kind of like a sorry and a thank you for being patient, they threw us on Texas Hippie Coalition in July.
And oh, yeah.
A couple dates with Yngwie, and all the Yngwie dates are like massive theaters. So we're playing the Tobin Center in Texas. We're playing the Louisiana House of Blues. So we're playing the Marquee Theater in Phoenix. And then there's a couple of the venues I'm missing, but I don't have it on the top of my head. But it's a lot of big shows. And again, it's kind of like a thank you and a sorry for having the cancellation. So I'm really thankful they hooked us up with that.
Man, a lot of the Pavement are Seven Stones. And I think Key Flight Captains are going out with maybe even the Dust Biters. They're all going out. All going out with the Texas Hippie Coalition. And like, I remember I do like that band. And I was a manager at a restaurant, and it was a sit down restaurant. I won't say the name of the restaurant for several years. And I would sneak that song in on the radio. So the pissed off and mad about it song. Yeah, and nobody noticed it, but I would sneak it in on the radio.
Yeah, it's kind of a cool way to structure a tour too, because on our half of the tour, we're the direct support, and they're changing the direct support every like 2 or 3 weeks.
Yeah. Well, you guys, I am running out of time. Do you have anything you want to get out there before we wrap it up?
Definitely check us out on social media. If you search up Bullets of the Heart anywhere, you are going to find us, and you are going to find a link to everywhere else. Twitch, Patreon, YouTube. Yeah,
TikTok, Spotify. Apple Music.
Yeah, you will find us. And we do have a private group called Bullets of the Heart's Bloodline. So check us out there. We have exclusive stuff. And then, subscribe on Patreon because we have exclusive stuff there as well. We're trying to get to 100 patrons.
Yeah, Patreon is actually really fun if you want to directly support the band. On the second tier, which is the Heathen tier, we have a cooking show. And on the top tier, we do a monthly cover. Yeah. So you get to watch us cook. You get behind-the-scenes access, see how we record. artwork, unreleased stuff, demos. You get to see the writing process. And then on the Elite Bloodline tier, you also get to contribute to the writing process and or suggest a monthly cover. So that was really fun.
Yep, but the cooking show, you will not see me cooking. Only the guys cook.
You only the men cook.
Only the men cook, man.
You're not handy at the food thing.
I am not. I cannot for the life of me cook anything. I can bake some big cookies. I can bake cookies. So I got dessert covered. Everybody else can do dinner.
Yeah. I don't like cleaning, so, you know.
And I like cleaning.
The funny thing is like everybody, since I was a kitchen manager, I don't do restaurant work anymore, but people always like, oh, you probably could cook a lot of stuff. I mean, I was a kitchen manager for 2 or 3 places, several years. Yeah. I was like, man, I can't cook. I said, my employees can't. I can't cook worth it. I know enough Spanish to have a really good kitchen. But yeah, I just don't like to. But I was going somewhere that day. I don't remember where.
Yeah, that's not for everybody. I really like it. I know Tom and I really like it. So we kind of came up with that idea. We have the show's called Skillet to the Heart.
Skillet to the Heart. Yeah. Yes. There will be links to that in the description. There will be the website description. There's links. There'll be ways to get to all their videos. And thank you all so much for being my guest. I am your host, Rob Lyon.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
I'm your host, Rob Lyon, signing off.